33 years after Jesus was born, on that wonderful night under a star, Jesus was crucified. He gave his life as a gift for his creation. The Word became flesh, and the Word gave his life for his own creation. The greatest gift that we could have ever received or asked for. Let us pray before we dismiss our kids to Sunday school. Father, what a mix of emotions that we have this morning. Father, we come together and we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Advent, the waiting for you, Jesus, to return. But at the same time, we remember that you were born and you came. And then you were put on a cross. You were put on a cross not by man's desire, but of your own will and volition. Unbeknownst to your creation, that we thought that you were a false prophet, crazy, unhinged. Maybe they thought that you were mentally ill. But you knew exactly what you were doing. And the comments would have been, how could anybody, why would anybody ever want to give their life for somebody else? For a sinner like me, we pray. No man, no person would do that. That's because you weren't just a man, you were God. You're Creator Father, lover of our souls, that does not want to see us perish, but to have eternal life with you. So, Father, we come with thankful hearts, grateful hearts, that you did what you did more than 2,000 years ago. That you willingly were born and submitted yourself to your own creation. To be a sign of hope, a sign of peace. To pick up your people. And Lord, more than anything, we need to have that hope, to have that pick-me-up. And Father, I think it's just incredible that you give us a sign that will be seen tomorrow. You give us a Christmas star. To some, it's just two planets aligning together and nothing more than that. But we look at that and we see it as a sign of your hope. To not lose hope. To have peace amongst in the darkness. Father, I choose to believe. I choose to have hope. I choose to have faith. I choose to trust. Father, may that be each one of us, that you would instill that hope with the sign of the star. Father, we ask that you would shake our leaders, our governments this Christmas. This star just might be that. But Lord, we know our destiny as followers of you, as believers, and that's heaven. We desire more to come. You are Lord. You are King. You are our Prime Minister. But Father, we pray for our leaders that you would shake them by your love this Christmas, that they would come to know you as Lord, as King, as Savior. We ask that your hand would be upon us and move us and shake us. And Father, we ask that your hand would be on the community of Bechco as we remember where David and Connie are ministering, Lord. Father, we pray that your hand would be upon the people, that they would see the sign of the star and they would wonder, what does that mean? And that they might hear the Christmas story for the first time anew. And Father, there would be a great outpouring and a great revival in Bechco. That the darkness would be pushed back and the light would shine forth. Father, we pray for our own city, our own town, our own neighbors, our own family, Father. Pray that they would receive the story of Christmas afresh and anew this year. We ask that you be with us. Be with those at home. Be with those that are dealing with health issues and difficulties. Father, we thank you that you're bringing Kimberly and Miles back to health. Father, we ask that you be with Kaylee and continue to bring health to her body. And Father, as she faces surgery, Lord, that this is going to be a good thing. And Father, you're going to bring healing to her body and make things right. Give wisdom and understanding to the doctors. And Father, we ask that you would have your hand upon Brian and Jessica as they serve over. And Lord, that this Christmas they might have the excitement of bringing people to Christ. And Father, we pray for Vera Berg. We ask that you'd continue to heal her body. Lord, we pray that you'd give her a natural strength to endure pain that she does. Father, we ask that you be with the Peters clan as well, Lord, as they remember the loss of their grandfather. And be with Grandma as she's having a hard time. We ask that your hand be upon her, that you would give her your peace, that she would see the hope. She would have the hope of you and the entire family we would pray for. Lord, we ask your hands to be upon us, be upon our community, be upon our country, Lord. We ask for your blessings, your spirit to be upon us. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. What we're going to do this morning is going to give a brief sermonette, and then we're going to have David and Connie, they're going to speak to us and share with us this morning just about stuff that's happening in Bechco. And then we're going to we'll just do an update on the baskets and that kind of stuff. And maybe we might even ask everybody that's got an ugly Christmas sweater to come forward. And maybe we'll take a picture of that. But I'm going to put brief slide up on the back there. Everybody can have that. So that's kind of what we're going to do this morning. Let's see. We continue walking with Isaiah. And Isaiah for Christmas. And just simply titled this morning, Waiting for Peace. The fourth candle of Advent represents peace. And I think we can all say with certainty that we wait for peace. Isaiah 9:6 says this, For a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. We talked about wonder last week. And this week, we want to focus on the word peace. What is peace? Everybody's waiting for peace. The most beautiful people in the world, when it comes to what do you desire most in to have in this world, it's world peace. Peace with men, peace with God, or a God, or peace with no God at all. We want to be able to have peace in doing so. We want to be able to have peace in our lives the way we desire, the way we want to pursue it, in the things that we enjoy, people that we love. We want to have peace in all of these things. We want to have peace to worship what and or whom we want, when we want, where we want, and how we want. We want peace to express our why and find out why. We demand and we defend our rights and freedoms because we believe they ensure our peace and the pursuit of peace. But when those rights and freedoms are suspended or taken away, then our peace is in danger. People have left their homelands in the pursuit of freedom because it will lead to having peace. The Statue of Liberty is a symbol of freedom, but more so, it's a symbol of a God of peace living in the land of America. Question is, in this pursuit of peace, what is the price for peace? And I would tell you the price of peace is belief. It is belief. It's belief in an ideal, a thought, a plan that will bring about security, that will bring about prosperity, that will bring overall well-being to you, to me, to everyone. So that's what peace means. If you look it up in the dictionary, peace means prosperity, security, and overall well-being. People will give up just about anything to have and experience peace. Our government wants to secure peace. They want to give us peace of mind about the thing that we're dealing with today. So they ask us to mask up, they ask us to keep our distance and get ultimately a shot in your arm that will bring peace and safety to our land. It's a good sentiment, but that does not bring ultimate peace. The Bible tells us that peace, perfect peace, that surpasses all human comprehension and understanding is attained only through one person. That's Jesus Christ. He will be named Prince of Peace. You will keep the mind that is dependent on you in perfect peace, for it is trusting in you. The mind that is focused on God will find perfect peace. If the mind is focused on anything else, you will not find perfect peace. Our world is a testimony to that. The self-help industry is a $2 billion industry. You go out and you purchase the latest book, or you go out onto the internet and you find that self-help. And why do you do that? To have peace. To have well-being. To help things make sense. But you know what? It doesn't lead to perfect peace. Because next year, you go looking for a different program or another book that'll bring you that peace. How many diets has there been in the world? South Beach, Atkins, keto. All for what? To have peace within myself, my body, my person. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile everything to himself by making peace through the blood of his cross, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Colossians 1:19-20. God had his fullness of his being dwell in Christ. And in Christ, through him, he made everybody perfect through his blood. Through his death on the cross, he makes everybody perfect who receives and believes in him. That's the gospel. Because Jesus came as the Prince of Peace to make peace in our souls. In our souls. Because our souls is what gets dirty and dark and sinful. And that is what divides us from the joy of the Lord. From the peace of God is that sin that entered into the world, sin and death, back in the Garden of Eden when man said, I don't trust you, God. I want to be God. I'll do it myself. And since that point in time, man has been looking for peace throughout the ages. We've looked into people to give us peace. We've looked into kings, presidents, prime ministers to make sense of our world. We've looked into prophets. We've looked into religious leaders. We've looked into religion to give us peace. But all of those things fall in comparison to Jesus. Because he gave his life for our peace. God himself gave his life for you and I to have peace with him. Everything else is a symptom. When you deal with the symptom, what remains? The problem. And the problem for man is no peace with God. If we do not deal with the source of the problem, which is ourselves, we move away from God. We don't trust God. We have to dress ourselves. We could never do that. We could not make peace with God on our own, no matter how much we tried or offered or gave or sacrificed. Peace was not possible. Peace is not possible. Peace is not possible today without Christ. So why do we look to everything else except for Christ? Because Apostle Paul told us in Romans 1 that man intentionally turns away from God. Because I can do it myself. And Ephraim and Damascus, when they're facing Assyria, they go to King Ahab and they ask him to help, to join the committee. that we're going to fight Assyria. They had lost the vision of God. We can do it ourselves. And King Ahab had made a side deal with the king of Assyria. He wasn't going to fight him. You vanquish those enemies for me and we'll be good. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. But what do you do when that friend becomes your enemy? Man has always been looking for peace. But peace is only possible through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Why this desire for peace? Because peace means what? Perfection. It's perfect. Everything's as it should be in my world. That's my world. I don't care about your world. I care about my world. And that's the difficulty. That's where the two stones rub together, because you have an idea of what peace is for you, and I have an idea what peace is for me. What perfection looks like. And Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I am the perfection. I am the peace. And anything else falls short of the glory of God. What one pays for peace is always the currency of belief. What one pays for peace is always the currency of belief. You're always paying belief dollars. This is what I believe. This is what I believe. This is what will make peace. And I spend those dollars to make that happen. But Christ says, you can't do anything to get the kind of peace that you need. You can only believe and accept and trust me. So which bank do we go to? Where can I get that money? Because we got to do it. Jesus says, you can't do that. Only I accomplished that. And I came to do that exact thing when I gave my life on the cross. Are you willing to spend the currency of your life for others? Why do you like Christmas? I mean, like is a really weak word in my context. I love Christmas. Why do I love Christmas? Well, many reasons. There's family, friends, food, the three F's, right? Family, friends, and food. That doesn't match with an F. But presents are great too. And a Christmas tree and decorations and lights. I love lights. We used to drive around town and just go visit and see the lights. How many of you have been to Candy Cane Lane? Went there last year. Candy Cane Lane. Why would people drive an hour, spend another 20 minutes trying to find a parking spot, and then go walk on icy sidewalks to see lights? Magical. It's my favorite time of year. Why? What is the foundation of my favoritism? It's because we celebrate and remember the Prince of Peace was born that day. God chose to become born of a woman. He moved into the neighborhood to save me and my neighbors, to bring and offer peace to man in Jesus. God moved in to the neighborhood. And guess what? You carry that same message, and where you are, God has moved into that neighborhood. Do you share his message? Do you share his peace? Over 2,000 years ago, people were doing what people are still doing to this day and will do in years to come. They look for peace in a person or a system or a place. How many of us would like to be in Mexico or sitting on a beach? Or wherever your happy place is, whatever it is. Whether it be a king or a president or a PM, a celebrity or religious personality, we desire a savior to lead us to peace. And we have a savior represented here today on the altar, the table. The thing that Ephraim in Damascus tried to do is to do it all themselves. We don't need God. We don't need your God. We're going to do it our way. All the people, Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, will know it. They will say with pride and arrogance, "The bricks have fallen, but we will rebuild with cut stones. The sycamores have been cut down, but we will replace them with cedars." We can do this. We will rebuild. We will defy the living God and do it our way. We will establish peace. We will make ourselves safe and secure. But peace isn't capable by a man. Unless we are led and we follow the Lord's ways. The people did not turn to him who struck them. They did not seek the Lord of hosts. So the Lord cut off Israel's head and tail, palm branch and reed, in a single day. This was Ephraim and Damascus. And ultimately, it would be Judah. And we see that today. We face what we face, but we continually turn away from God. We look to other solutions. We look to other people. We look to other persons to save us. And God says, "Why are you doing that? Look to me. Return to me." A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord determines his steps. I love that. Because I'm like, I'm going to do this. And God says, "Yeah, no, you're not. I'm going to go do this tomorrow. I'm going to be this tomorrow. I'm going to plan this next year. I'm going to have all these things." And God says, "Yeah, no, you're not." But when we're walking in step with God, we're walking in step with the Spirit. And the Spirit will tell us and lead us into God's steps. You and I may have a plan for today, but we walk in the Lord's determination tomorrow. This is my plan. God says, "Okay, but tomorrow you're doing this." King Ahab had a plan to deny God, but God delivered Jesus by the people for the people. King Herod had a plan to kill Jesus, but God determined Jesus would make the cross by the people for the people. The kings of this world seek to stop Christmas, but God delivers the peace of a star, a Christmas star, to remind the people of the hope that we have in Jesus. Is that not incredible? Jesus will be a king whose dominion will be vast and its prosperity will never end. He will reign on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish and sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. This is what God's peace will look like. This is what the people heard. This is what God is going to do. He's going to bring peace to your land. They were looking for a human king, and they received one, but he didn't look like what they thought he would look like. He didn't sit on the throne that they thought he would sit on. He sat on a cross and died, and then arose. He came riding on a donkey. He was born into a family that was poor. They didn't have the wealth and the privilege and the influence and the power. He was born in a stable around some smelly cows and animals. I want to say he was happy as a pig in mud, but he didn't know any different. But that's where Jesus was born into, so that he could fully identify with man. In the lowest of lows, the lowest and most terrible situations, Jesus was born into that place, identifying fully with us. And he would be king. Reminds you of some of the Walt Disney stories, eh? Aladdin, the poor beggar. He's nobody, he pretends to be king, and ultimately in the end he becomes king. Wow. Lord, you will establish peace for us, for you have also done all our work for us. Yahweh, our God, lords other than you have ruled over us, but we remember your name alone. That's a remnant of Judah from the book of Isaiah. It says, you've already established the peace for us. You've done all the work. He says, you simply just have to trust and believe. He's gone to all the work, years and years in advance, for this very time, for this very moment, to put a star in the sky, to say hope, to say trust, to say stay faithful. He knows exactly what this world is going through. He knows exactly what you and I are going through. And he put that star up there for this exact time, exact moment. I refer to it as the star. It's two planets coming together, which is incredible in itself and how that all happens. Only two other times that it's happened like this. What are you waiting for at Christmas? What are we waiting for? Many of us celebrate with family and friends. Many of us won't be doing that this Christmas. And Christmas is going to be a downer in that way. But what is Christmas all about? It's about Christ. God having been born, God with us. Advent is about waiting. This is the fourth Advent, waiting for peace. Well, peace already came once and established the foundation, and peace will return. Amen? Because of our God's merciful compassion, the dawn from on high will visit us to shine on us, those who live in darkness, and the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to the people he favors. Christmas is the birth of peace on earth. Christ is the peace who brings peace to our souls. Amen.